Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 55. The Lord my shepherd holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me. No want shall find me there. In pastures green he feeds me. With plenty I am blessed. By quiet streams he leads me and makes me safely rest. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 55.
scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and thereof chapter 22. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Let us try to pray. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thrice over have we heard it in these moments. Behold, surely I come quickly. We do not realize how quickly in that thou comest. It is realized a little in the end of our life when we are standing before our death. When we are looking over our past and when our whole life that is going before our face, that we realize the truth of thy holy word, that our life that is but a shadow, that is but a vapor, and that comes and it quickly disappears. And so thou dost testify, surely I come quickly. Amen. O Lord, wilt thou bring it in the heart of each and every one of us? For we are travelers that are looking so to the earth and to all the things upon our journey, but we look not unto its end. And unto that day when there shall be that great separation between the sheep and the goats, and when we will be judged by thee according to all that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. We cannot stand before thee, O Lord, in that day. Wilt thou give us understanding hearts in this day, while that thou still profferest peace and pardon, as we have heard also in these moments, whosoever is athirst, let him come, or whosoever will. Lord, remember us, for we do not thirst after thee by nature, and we have no will that desires thee by nature. But when thou wilt plant it in our hearts, then thou dost open a way that is so free. Oh, then we need eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and hearts to understand it. We beseech thee for our children and for ourselves, our parents, our families, all our loved ones, all we journey together. We look back also in this afternoon upon what has taken place in this morning hour, and when a confession has been made in the midst of the congregation. O Lord, thou knowest all that have been left behind. O that thou may give saving impressions of our state and our condition by nature, that it may move us while it is still called today. For the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and thou wilt show them thy covenant. Oh, that that secret may be also given in the hearts of each and every one. And that we may receive a secret place in our own chambers. That we may receive that life that goes out unto thee, the true and the living God. Do remember those that do say, to God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief, no answer yet has brought relief. And thou knowest their places also in the midst of us, that thou may hear their supplications. For thou hast promised to hear the needy when they cry. Oh, that they may be given yet to testify of thee and of thy work, thy greatness, thy great name, thy righteousness, all that thou givest unto thy people. Oh, magnify thyself in the hearts of those who are needy and who cannot bring forth anything from their own side. Oh, we need to be instructed in that way, and that is so impossible for our own flesh. Oh, that thou may give it in a rich measure amongst us. Look upon the children, the young people. Oh, give them that tender fear of thee in the days of their youth. Do work a holy jealousy within their hearts for that portion that belongeth unto the people of the Lord, that they may have a desire when they are still young, that they may obtain that portion, that they may be given to run that race, that they may also receive the prize. Oh, that we may be given to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, that thou may cause many to be born out of nature's darkness and to be brought into thy marvelous light. O thou who art able to send forth thy spirit, and thou who hast come into this world to sacrifice thyself and to give thyself even unto death, and thou who hast bored thy ear with an awl to the door, and that in subjection unto thy Father, to be that servant who would do his will and who hast accomplished everything for the sake of thy church, so that thou couldst say upon that cursed tree, it is finished. Oh, that thou mayst send forth thy spirit, and that that need may be born in the hearts of many also in our days, and that thou may glorify thyself therein. O Lord, give us to yearn for those waters that are from thy fountain, that we may be able to drink therein from those fountains of waters after which a man he will never thirst. O Lord, draw thou us, we will run after thee. Look upon thy people. Oh, there is a rest that belongeth unto the people of God. They may taste thereof a little bit here in this life, so that they may be able to continue on upon their journey. Wilt thou give them hearts to acknowledge thee? And wilt thou cause their testimony to go forth as a sweet savor in the midst of the congregation, that others also may be drawn even as a Ruth of old, though the afflictions are many, that all the trials and the tribulations that have to be born by thy church, and may be born with such a patience as Naomi, and that she may be given to make such a testimony in the midst of this world, and that others also would be drawn to say, entreat me not to leave thee, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. Look upon us each in our circumstances in this life, for thou art he that leadeth in the ways of all of thy providence, that we may be given never to rebel against thee, in all the ways that thou dost lead us therein, but that we may be given that blessed patience of Job, and that we may be given to say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, and that we may not sin against thee. That thou may bless the afflictions and all the ways wherein that thou dost lead each one upon our journey through this life, that we may see and feel the vanity, that all things are passing away. That we may put upon our eyes the blinders, that we would not look to the right hand nor to the left, that we may be given to enter in through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way, that leadeth unto life. Lord, that thou may look upon our school, give thy fear to dwell in that place, that the tenderness of thy fear may be experienced, may be felt, and may be displayed also by our teachers, by our students alike, and that there may be an example set in that place, and that may be for the instruction of our youth and of our children. That thou wouldst put away also the devices of Satan, for he seeks our youth, but give them to remember their Creator in those days. Do look thou upon our governments, that thou may cause us to turn again to the law and to the testimony in these times of great turmoil and many callings which are coming from thee, in the ways of the weather, the earthquakes, and also the rumors of wars. That thou who art the God, the King of the whole universe, may watch over us and our children in thy mercy, and the countries in which we do dwell, and that thou wouldst keep us in safety, because a war that is an awful thing. How many they are slain even in a moment. Lord, that thou wouldst keep us therefrom, but that thou wouldst also cause us to turn from the ways wherein we have left thee, and we have departed from thee days without number, and we have sinned against thee to seek all that is without God in this world. Then wilt thou draw us back again? Bring our rulers to see that there is a God in heaven, and they must give an account unto thee, and that they may themselves bow their knees and be ready to speak thy name unto the nations over which thou hast placed them, and that they may bring us back unto thee. Lord, that thou may look upon us in thy mercy, be with thy word, thy servants, the students, all those that go forth to bring thy word over the length and breadth of the whole world. Wilt thou give thy blessing upon that word, that thy kingdom may come, that men may be brought from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south, and that we also and our children may not be left behind. Do give that holy urgency in our hearts, that we cannot give unto ourselves. Look thou upon us also in this afternoon hour, and do give us sufficient strength once again to bring thy word, as Thou hast supplied for us in this morning hour. Lord, that Thou may increase our strength further, and that we may be able to go in and out amongst this our flock, if it could be Thy holy will. But could it also please Thee to bless the labors of our hands? Oh, are we not called by Thee, O Lord? And yet there are so few, that may testify that they have knowledge of Thee. Oh, could it please Thee yet to use us then, truly to take forth the precious from the vile, and that many may be born in Zion, both young and old, and that Thou wouldst make us a robber of the hell, and that Thou wouldst make us also an instructor of Thy people, and that we may be given lessons, heavenly lessons from above, and that we may know how to lead Thy true church. O Lord, go Thou before us, forgiving all that is sinful in Thy holy sight. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, and that higher is than I. All the stanzas of Psalter 159, and the last collection today is for the building fund. congregation, the words of our text for this reflection service can be found in the last verse of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the verse, the 17th verse. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. So far the words of our text. The bride's petition for the remaining time of shadows. First, the hope revealed in this petition. Until the day break and the shadows flee away. Second, the favor sought by this petition. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. The bride's petition for the remaining time of shadows, the hope revealed, and secondly, the favor sought by this petition. Until the day break. Thus, what is the break of the day? That is, the time that the night ceases and the day begins. We would say, boys and girls, that is the morning of the new day. There is a great difference between the day and the night, is there not? What is the great difference, children, between the day and the night? We'll say, in the night it is dark, and in the day it is light. That is right. What do you like better? Like the day better? Or do you like the night better? I think you say, I like the day better. You must think about something. Because in the Bible, that it talks about an eternal night and an eternal day. What shall that be if we shall enter that place where it shall never become light? In Egypt, that was for 3 days, that it was not light, and then no one moved from their place. An eternal day, an eternal night. The night in the Word of God, that is also sometimes used to signify a time of trials, of troubles, and of afflictions. Those that do experience such trials, they are often looking forward to the end of them. That is, to the end of the night. They are looking forward to the breaking of the day, until the day break. Zacharias, he spoke about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and he spoke about it as the spring of the day. The day spring from on high. Thus, he spoke about the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world as the beginning of the day, as the ceasing of the night. So it is. When we think about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, then in the Old Testament, that was, relatively speaking, that was a time of darkness, that was a time of shadows. But when Christ came into this world, and then he says, I am the light of this world. And so the shadows, the darkness, that was done away. And how much light was then shed upon all of the prophecies of the Old Testament that was for that people for 4,000 years so very, very dark. They did not know how that those prophecies were going to be fulfilled. But when the Lord Jesus came, then for them the day broke. We can speak sometimes, maybe young people, then your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother, then they speak about good old days. However, we live in days of the world that were never so good. Never such good days as the days that you and I live in. It is understandable that they speak of other days, because there are many things in our days that we have to mourn about, because Satan's devices, they have increased tremendously. Very, very difficult for our children to live in this world. And yet, what days are of the whole history of the world are days as you and I may live in. And why is that? The Apostle John, he says, "The true light now shineth." That means that we live in the day. We live in a time where the day has broken. We live in the time that it has become light. May you also feel that in this morning hour, because it is a day when the Word of God may go forth with such an openness that is both by word and by sacrament. But because we live in such a day, we are also so responsible for that light that is shining all around us, a light that we have no desire that would enter into us. Why? Because the Lord says that light is come into the world, but men, they have loved the darkness rather than the light, that is to love the night rather than the day. We have all been witnesses in this morning. We have been witnesses of what has taken place in the house of the Lord. And how many of us have testified in this morning hour that we have never seen that light, that actually we have no desire for that light. We understand that it is not all done in the same way. No, then everyone has not sat in their bench this morning with the same thoughts, because then it is likely that there are some that have done this in a very cold way. It could be. It could be that some have come into the house of the Lord this morning and they have said, "Ah, that's right. That's right. It's the Lord's Supper today." Is that so? Completely forgotten about it in the week that is gone by. So that there was not a single thought in your heart. How will that be? In the morning of that day, when you wake up in the morning, or shall we say, when we do not wake up in the morning, and when we will say, "Ah, yes, so it is, as it has been told unto me my whole life long, that life that is going to end, and that there is going to come a time that I have to appear before the Lord." It is possible that we have sat in our seats this morning with a judging heart. Is that so? Maybe not a single thought about ourselves, but we say, oh, there is one that goes. And not only so, there is one that does not go. And so, we have not a single thought about our own soul. Oh, may it be different in this afternoon. That cannot be by us. But if the Lord would only bring it into our hearts, that we may go out of this place different than we have come in, that we say, oh Lord, thou hast given me this light, and it is light about me, but it is so dark in my soul. Maybe that so you have also sat in this morning, that you have sat with a certain jealousy in your heart. You have looked upon that people of the Lord, and you have said in your heart, oh, that is a blessed people. Maybe in your heart that you say, I would even like to be one of that people. And yet it is so transitory. As soon as you go out of the house of the Lord, then everything in the world that is drawing your heart again, Balaam, he says, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. In our fall, we did not lose our emotions, no. So that there can be temporal desires, even after those things which we deem to be in an outward way good. But oh, that seed falling, the Lord Jesus says, upon that wayside. So that the birds of the air, they are so quickly snatching up that seed. Is that now so in our life? That it is just a transitory thing. That we hear it, we see it, and we can go on our way again. Or is it different? I mean with those that were glued to your benches in this morning hour. Because it is also possible that there are those that have sat in their benches in this morning with a great struggle in your soul. And why? Well, it is possible that sometimes when we sing out of God's holy word, as the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, longeth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Oh, then you have to say before the Lord in your own heart that I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. And yet, although you must say that love that by times burns within your heart, yet the Lord, he has made you honest. And then you are not able just to take those things that you feel do not belong to you. But you want it to be in such a right way. And the Lord, he has given you also a discerning ear. Oh, then you listen. And you say, there is now something that I miss. There is now something that the people of the Lord that they have. There is now something that they know. Oh, and what is it? It is something, you say, I do not know it really, but I hear it. What do they speak about? They speak about that mediator. They speak about that name Jesus, and I do not know. Oh, I do not know in my own heart a desire for him. Oh, and then what is it? Then you are longing for something. Then you are longing for what? Oh, you say, Lord, that the day may break, that the shadows may flee away, that I may be given light also into thy only begotten Son, that he also may become precious unto me. Or we would say, pray on. We would say, pray on. And why? Because that is the word of the Lord himself. Oh, those who are crying day and night unto him, they shall surely receive it. That is his own promise. Therefore we say, pray on. Until when, you say? Oh, until the daybreak and until the shadows flee away. Until the daybreak. Ah, you see, but this here is the bride, she is speaking. And the day? Does the bride not know about that day? Has that day not broken for her? That is true. She is certainly no stranger of that light. But now the scriptures, they are speaking also of another day. And what is that day? We read in God's word that the Bible that speaks about the great day. What is the great day? You know what that is, children? The great day, that is the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon the world. You say, minister, but we have commemorated that day already, because that is what happened on Christmas Day. Then the Lord Jesus came into the world, and every year again, then we are commemorating that great and that blessed event. That is true. But the Bible that is speaking about another day, that is when the Lord Jesus, he is going to come again. He is going to come again for the second time. And now that first coming, that was a temporary coming. He came only for a little while. He had a work to do. And once that work was finished, then he has returned again into the bosom of his Father. That was a blessed time when he was here in the world. A blessed time for his disciples. That was a time that they could go to him. And that was a time that he was so near to them. That was a time that there was a blessed communion. Oh, with all their troubles, and with all their afflictions, they had access unto him, and they would receive an answer from him. Do you know of such a time? Because that time that is also in the life of God's children. Oh, that is a time wherein the Lord, he is so near. It is a time wherein whenever it seems that they go to the Lord with their troubles, then it seems immediately that there is an answer from heaven. Oh, the nearness of the Lord, and that is felt in their soul. But it does not remain that way. No, they are but visits, and then he is gone. They are just but temporary visits. They are just but short visits. And then he is vanishing. He is vanishing as quickly as he has vanished away from those two men that were walking on the way to Emmaus and that were enjoying his presence. What does the bride speak about? She speaks about shadows until, and the shadows flee away. What is that, a shadow, children? What is a shadow? It's a shadow. Well, when you have a shadow, then it is half dark and half light. It is not altogether light, but it is also not altogether dark, a shadow. Then you can see somewhat, but you cannot see very clearly. Maybe you can just see that it is a person, maybe not even if it is a man or a woman. saw a shadow. You can see the outward lines. And now a shadow. What is that doing for God's people? Well, then there is a certain prevention that they should see Christ in all of His glory. Then there is something that is hiding His great excellence and His great beauty. Then they can only see, as it were, the shadow of Him. Thus the Apostle Paul, he says, we see through a glass. Indeed, we see, but it is through a glass. And he says, we see darkly, just like a shadow. Shadows, thus the church that is beholding Christ through the shadows, the bride says. Indeed, the church may behold Him by times through the shadow of His ordinances. So it was in this morning hour. That is the ordinances of the bread and of the wine. Oh, how beautiful. How precious. May you see something of Him this morning also, people of the Lord. May you have just a little taste of His beauty through that shadow, through that ordinance, through that type, that He is declaring unto you that it is like unto Himself. A wine that is poured out, a bread that is broken, that you may see a little beyond those tokens, that it may go a little further, and that you may see a shadow, a blessed shadow of the work of that blessed mediator. Ah, if that is so precious, if that is now so beautiful, if for a moment you may sit in a quiet rest, when you may behold His shadows, then what shall that be? When all those shadows are taken away, and that you may behold Him face to face. Shadows, there is the shadow of human infirmity. Why? Because we read in the Bible that we have a body that is not able to bear the fullness of the revelations. So we can read in the Song of Solomon that his left hand is under my head, and with his right hand he doth embrace me. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. Thus a body, a frail body, a weak constitution, a body that is made out of clay, that is not able to bear the full revelations of that blessed glory of that Son of God and of God Himself. What do we read of Moses? We read that the Lord, He brought him up unto that mountain, and there that He spoke with Moses face to face, and Moses said, let me see thy glory. But what did the Lord say? No man shall see me and live. And thus the Lord said, I will pass by thee, but I will cover thee with my hand, and that thou shalt see but my back parts. For no man shall see my face and live. Thus, the shadows, the necessity of those shadows because of the weakness of the constitution of that human nature as it has become under the fall. Shadows, and that not only because of the weakness of the body, but we can read in the Bible, they are also sinful infirmities that are creating a shadow. Because the Lord says, your iniquities, they have separated between me and you. It is your sins that have hid my face from you. Do you ever feel that shadow, people of the Lord? Then when sin is coming between, oh, then there is a shadow. There is not that access that your soul desires. Then you are not able to see Him as that you wish to see Him. And maybe, then maybe that is also preventing that you even come to that ordinance of the Lord as it is commanded unto you. Because that you are conscious of some sin that is making a separation, so that in this morning that you are glued unto your bench and that you are not able to follow the command of the Lord 9 months. David, he could not break it. No. And while he was silent, he says that my soul, my bones wax old within me all the day long. But the Lord broke it in His mercy, coming to say unto him, Thou art the man. And so the Lord, He may declare that forgiveness in the life of David. Shadows. Shadows because of the human infirmities. Shadows because of the sinful infirmities. But there are also just simply shadows because we live in the time. Shadows because that have actually nothing to do with any kind of discipline, that have nothing to do with the sin, with the chastisement of His people. Because we think about Job, he was a righteous man. He was a man that feared God and eschewed evil. And then we do not read that he has sinned against the Lord. And yet we read that he says himself, I go forward, but he is not there. And I go backward, but I cannot perceive him. And then it was not because that he needed discipline from the Lord, no. But the Lord, he had his own wise reasons. And so it belongs even to the time. It belongs to this life. In the life of God's people, the coming, the going of the Lord, so that it is a time of shadows. But now what does the bride say? She says, until the day break, and the shadows flee away. And so what does she reveal in this petition? She reveals a hope. A hope. What is hope? And how is hope related to faith? Hope that has to do with things that are future. And faith, Paul says, is the substance of things hoped for. Thus, faith, that is the basis, that is the foundation of the hope that is living in the heart of God's children. And now the Lord's Supper, that is for what? That is for the strengthening of faith. And faith is the foundation of hope. Thus, what ought to be the fruit of that Holy Supper? That is the emboldening, the enlivening of the hope of God's church. What does hope concern? Well, Paul, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Why? Well, because the Lord, He has an afflicted people in this world. Because it is a life, we read the Lord Jesus says, That people, they must be ready for all kinds of tribulations and persecutions in this world. Because this world that is off limits for that people. And thus Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Then we have missed not only the world to come, but we have also missed the world that is present. Thus, that hope that has to do with the things especially that are future. And now what does the bride say? She says, until the day break and the shadows flee away. Oh, what is she looking forward to? And then she is speaking about the breaking of that second day. She is speaking about that coming of Christ, which will not be transitory, wherein He will not be coming and going anymore now. But she is speaking of that eternal day, that day that is coming, that shall be an eternal light, she believes. She believes that day is coming. Oh, faith that is given to be in exercise. And when that faith that is in exercise, then there is a longing for that day. When that faith that is in exercise, then all the glory of this world that is more and more fading away. And in those moments when the church may see Him, when they may believe in Him, oh, then their hearts, they are also going out after Him. Oh, then how all this world that is seen as that which is not worthy of all of their attention and all of their love. Oh, that bride, she says, now when this day breaks, then there will be no more shadows. Then there will be no more veil. Then I am going to be able to see Him as He is. And then the full glory of His countenance, that shall be made known unto me. No, then it will not be through the ordinances anymore. What do we read in the Word of God? And there was no temple there. No temple. No types. No shadows. Why? Because there they will see Him face to face. There will be no more human infirmity. Why? Well, Paul, he says, this mortal that is going to put on immortality so that it will not be too much for that undying body to receive the glorious views of the beauty of the majesty of Christ. And then also the sinful infirmity, that is also going to be done away when not only the mortal shall put on immortality, but when also this corruption that is going to put on incorruption, so that there will be nothing to make separation anymore, because there will be no sin to enter there, and there will be nothing that is able to come in between when He would show His glory unto His church. And then there will be no coming and there will be no going anymore. Why not? Because as the Lord Jesus said to His disciples, that His Father, that He wills that they should be with Him where He is, that they may see His glory. And so they will be with Him. Then there will never be a leaving Him anymore. Then there will never be a departing. Then there will never be any more a separation. And so we read that church, they shall ever be with the Lord. Oh, who can fathom it? Because that is now a hope that has a foundation. That is now a hope we read in the Word of God that shall never be ashamed. Do we believe that? Let us sing Psalter 31. Stanza 7. When I in righteousness at last thy glorious face shall see, when all the weary night is past and I awake with thee to view the glories that abide, then I shall be satisfied. 31, the seventh stanza. Petition for the remaining time of shadows. First, the hope revealed in that petition. Second, the favor sought by this petition until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, until the day break. What does she speak about? She speaks about the time before that the day breaks. That is, the time that she is still in the shadows. That is, the time that she is now. Until the day break, she says. What do we hear in it? We hear a blessed resignation. She is willing. She is willing to wait for the Lord, for that thing that her soul does so look forward to. That is that breaking of the day. And she is willing to wait now until the Lord sees fit to break that night. What is now so good and proper that then that faith that would long for the day when Christ would be coming upon the clouds of heaven, when all this world will be done away, when sin will be done away, what is now so good and proper as to long for the day when that church they may see him as he is, and yet it can be done in a sinful manner. That is, when it is not accompanied by that patience that is fitting that desire. Because the Apostle Paul also said that he had a desire to depart. He said that would be far better. But he said, to remain in the flesh, that is more needful for you. And so he was resigned. He was willing saying what the Lord he does, that is the best. And thus the bride, she is speaking also in the time of his absence. And what does she say, O Lord? She said, I am willing to wait, if it be now thy will, because everything that thou doest is good. All her relation to him, as she had such an enjoyment in that relation, my beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies, we heard it in this morning. And now that love that gives her a desire in her heart to do his will, but she still, she has for him but one request. And what is it? Well, it is about still that time of the shadows. It is about that time before that day breaks. And what does she say? She says, O Lord, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. What is Bether? Bether, that means division. Thus, the mountains of Bether, they are the mountains of division, the mountains that divide, the mountains that make separation, so that I cannot see my beloved and that I cannot feel the nearness of his presence. And the roe and the young hart, how are they upon the mountains of Bether? Well, just like children, the deer, you see them sometimes, and they are running, they are hopping, they are skipping, or that it is so easy for them. And so the roe or the young hart upon those mountains of Bether, and that is expressing how easily that they are able to scale the mountains, just to jump over those mountains, as it were, and appear. Where? On the other side. And now the bride, what does she say? O Lord. She says, seeing that the shadows still remain, and seeing that thou wilt have me yet to live in that time of shadows, O Lord, wilt thou still be to me in that time, like that roe or the young hart, as he is skipping over those mountains? O Lord, wilt thou come sometimes, still in this time, while the shadows remain? Wilt thou come sometimes, still to visit me? Wilt thou come over those mountains of impossibilities that I am not able to bridge over? Oh, that sometimes, Lord, that I may see thy face, that sometimes I may still hear thy voice, and that thou wouldst not stay away too long while we are still in the time of these shadows, that I may be encouraged, that I may go on a little again, and that I may wait until the end of that time, until that time comes that the shadows flee away and that full light is breaking. That is her request. The church that has to learn to live by faith and not by sight. That is something that is belonging to the growth of grace. It is also belonging to that time of the shadows. And yet, people of the Lord, and yet, that desire that you have, that is not a sinful desire. No, we read of it today in the Word of God. That desire that is living in your heart, to desire the sensible manifestations of the love of Christ. Actually, to be without such a desire, that is not a good sign. to be without such desires, then we reveal ourselves as a hypocrite. O congregation, if that is the way that we have come to the Lord's Supper in this morning hour, and we know nothing of these desires, oh, then we have to say that we come for the wrong reason, whatever that reason may have been. I know that God's children, they are often in a way of backsliding, and it is not my intention that we make those people's hearts to be smitten at this time. No, but even in the Word of God, we read of that bride. She is laying on the bed of slothfulness, and she says, I sleep. That is the grief of that people. They cannot wake themselves out of that sleep, but they are not dead. They are not dead. No, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. And thus the desires, they are living at the bottom of that heart, and they are going out after him. And when he is reviving them a little bit, oh, then she is rising off of her bed again, that she may seek her beloved until the day break and the shadows flee away. Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, congregation. What was now the profit of the day that now lies behind us, because it is an hour of reflection. And when we may look back and we may go to our home now in this afternoon, then we ought to be looking back and say, what was now the profit that I have received in the house of the Lord this day? This word that contains a petition, it is the petition of the bride. Does that petition also belong to you? It is a petition that reveals a hope in her soul. It is a hope for another life. It is a hope for an eternal life. Do you ever think about that life? Parents, young people, children, she has a hope. Are we then altogether without that hope? I know that God's people, they are also sometimes altogether too attached to the things that are in this life. But when they may receive just a little visit from the Lord, and when that faith may be in exercise, then their heart that is going out after something else, you can ask them about it. How it is actually in the exercises of faith. And then that is looking forward to the time that they may receive such views of him that shall be without any veil and without any shadow. They are sweet visits. And because of their sweetness, then it cannot but be that they will be longing for more of them. Then it will be the testimony of that church of God, oh, the Lord give that faith more and more in exercise in the life of his children, that it may be evident also among us, because people of the Lord, oh, I think that if more of this prayer were going up unto him, the blessed bridegroom, and then certainly would we not receive more blessed visits from him until the day break and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a young hart or a roe upon the mountains of Bether. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do cause our hearts to go out to thee. How wretched that man is from himself, so fallen. How blessed is that people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, give in the midst of us also that knowledge of that sound, that life, that those desires. O draw thy people, bring us safely home. Help us in the week to come. Help each one in our circumstances. Keep the children to and fro to school. And watch over the fathers in their labors, the mothers in their homes. Give to us all contemplation, meditations that may be sweet of thee, and that our hearts may be drawn, that thy name may be glorified, and we may acknowledge thee, that thou hast brought us through, despite all our fears, and that thou hast given us sufficient strength, that we may do the labors of our hands in this day. Oh, could it please thee to crown it with thy blessing and to forgive all that was amiss and sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 202 stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel, through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 202. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.